Welcome, dear listeners, to this week's episode of Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. As always, this is Prem from Team Radio Sai, beginning by offering our humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. With me, as always, I have Brother Sai Prakash to co-host the show for you. And like we had the previous week, we still have the company of Brother Sonam, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University, a very well-known composer and singer of bhajans. And on behalf of all of you, I'll welcome him once again to our show. Sairam, sir.
Sairam.
Sairam.
Sairam, sir. Prakash.
Sairam, Prem. Actually, more than just a composer and a singer of bhajans, he's a good musician. I would say that's what defines him in a nutshell. Because even the Bridge Across Time series that the alumni have brought out, I think sir has been involved in the composing of the music right from the beginning. And I think that is an experience.
As you're saying that sir is a good musician, you know, discourse I think sometime in the early 80s, Swami gave the importance of Sai bhajans or bhajans as it is sung in Swami's presence.
Okay.
And how it's more special than to be a bhajan singer and composer than to be a musician. Because Swami says in that, you know, there are so many types of singing. Swami says, even in devotional singing, Swami says there is Nama Sankirtana, there is Guna Sankirtana, Bhava Sankirtana,
Jana Sankirtana.
Yeah, Sankirtana itself, Jana Sankirtana. Swami said that you sing in a group. Swami said, and gave various examples. He said, Bhava Sankirtana, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nama Sankirtana is, I think, Tyagaraja. I think Tyagaraja is Guna Sankirtana. Swami gave so many such examples. And then Swami said, you're all so fortunate because you're able to do all this by participating in bhajans.
And in the immediate presence of the Master, the Lord Himself.
In the very presence of Swami.
Yeah.
Nothing could be better, and that way, all of us are very fortunate, and sir, you're a little more fortunate than us.
No. This is the most miraculous thing. The manner in which, you know, Swami shapes us, like a sculptor, master sculptor, you know. He really molds us into something that we would have never earlier even thought of. Like, I could have never imagined myself sitting and composing bhajans, but then the fact of the matter is that I never composed any bhajans. I just received the bhajans. Like any of the other bhajan composers, they have all received the bhajans from Bhagwan in all humility and joy. And the only privilege is that we are the first recipients.
Correct.
Very true. So with that interesting intro, let us go into this little discourse we are in the middle of. Interestingly, you know, the discourse, the 14th discourse in that series called Practice and Precept.
Yes.
And till now, whatever Swami has spoken, if we just go through what the few clips you've played, whatever Swami has spoken is about, you know, where Swami is talking about having that eye of wisdom to find. Swami gave the example of the musk deer, which does not know that the fragrance is within and such is outside. I wonder how much of practice is involved in the recognition of any of these things which Swami has told. I mean, most of these things are beyond the a person's ability to do something and get to that.
Correct.
Isn't it?
Correct.
Going back to that discourse that Swami gave a few weeks back when we went through, Swami said, just stop doing everything. Stop doing sadhana.
Correct.
You cannot do anything to achieve this. Interesting, where Swami is going to bring the concept of practice and precept.
No, but there is one point Swami makes here, which is very interesting. He says, according to the Vedas, he says, na karmana na prajyadane na tyagene hiye. So he says, only by renunciation you can achieve, you can get immortality.
Yes.
And then he goes on to explain. He says, in this very discourse, he says, what is renunciation? It's not running away from your family, nor giving up your wife and children and going somewhere else and you say, I've renounced the world. It's not that. He says, it stems from the main cause for this delusion is your identification with the body.
With the body.
Very clearly he says.
Dhyanubhuti.
Then he says, nothing else will make you realize this. Only thing you have to do is say, I am not the body, I am not the senses, the mind, the intellect, all these are my instruments. And he looks like, you know, this is the only practical thing, in the sense, something that we may have to do. We are already embodiments of divinity, but to remove this covering of Maya that is there, you have to reassert yourself. I think that's the practice part of it.
So many times, you know, Swami would illustrate this with beautiful examples and even for the children. And then it would apply to even an elderly person, to anybody of any age.
Correct.
Like, am I this body? These are the litmus tests, you know. How do you really come to the conclusion that you are not this body? So am I this body? My head, my body, my clothes. So in the same strain, you also say that my body. Just like the way you say, my shirt.
Correct, correct.
And then ultimately, if it is your shirt, my shirt, then are you the shirt?
Exactly.
Then are you the body in the same strain? Then you are the possessor of the body. You are the master, the possessor of this body. The same way you are the possessor, the master, the owner of your shirt.
Correct.
So, so beautifully, and makes it so graphic and makes it so, you know,
in fact, he gives many examples to explain. He says it's like the cloud that blocks the light of the sun.
Yeah.
The cloud which comes out from the because of the sun's rays only.
The sun, right.
Then he gives another example of how the cataract born from the eye blurs the vision.
Blurs the vision.
But very beautifully, the modern Kali Yuga avatar that Swami is in one of the discourses, as he was telling this. He says, you know, in the he was talking about Shravan Kumar, who was looking after his parents.
Yeah.
You know, he says they were old people and they could not see. And those days they didn't have cataract operation. He says, nowadays you have cataract operation. Poor thing, at that time they didn't have cataract operation, so he had to carry them.
No netralaya.
So he explains that it is like cataract. And the cataract that is born from the eye has to be removed. And that itself comes and blurs.
I think that's the most interesting thing of the way Swami would explain. Once, I remember one of our lecturers were explaining that Swami started telling one chinnakatha. And later a student came and told the sir about, that's a chinnakatha which Swami has narrated over and over again, so many times. So this boy was listening to it, he said, oh, this chinnakatha, I've heard it. And he said, Swami narrated the entire chinnakatha, and the last line, he twisted the moral of the story so completely.
Give a new dimension.
Give an absolutely new dimension. You know, that was a surprise element in the way Swami would explain.
That's true.
A bit of humor would be there, a bit of twist in the tale itself, sometimes.
I mean, to what extent to explain Advaita, talk about cataract. I think just before we started the session, you were sharing a very beautiful incident. Just a reflection of one of those days when you came early to the mandir. Can you please repeat it?
Yeah, this was way back in 1984.
Okay.
That day we just felt like going to the mandir a little bit early. And some of the seniors and bhajan boys, we had the privilege to do that.
Okay.
So we were right there in the mandir, just a few of us. And then that day, by our really good fortune, Swami just came out very early. And then instead of going out and giving darshan, straight away he came inside the bhajan, inside the mandir. And then he spent a good almost, you know, 45 minutes to 50 minutes with us, sitting on that pedestal on which the throne is kept, you know.
Correct, right next to the tiger's
tiger head.
Head. Yeah.
So Swami was sitting there. And then what was, you know, seemingly small pep talks, like, you know. But he started with Wordsworth that day.
Okay.
Swami said, you know Wordsworth? A great poet.
Okay.
Then we said Swami William Wordsworth. Like I was so jubilant, you know, because I knew about William Wordsworth, and because my mother had really drilled into my system all these great luminaries, you know, these great poets. And I almost could, you know, remember most of the wonderful poetry, the most of the poems that they had written. So Swami said, can any one of you recite? So before that, Swami said, Wordsworth was a pure Advaitin, Swami said.
My God, William Wordsworth was an Advaitin.
The moment he said that, he also said at the end of it, which I might forget to add later on, Swami said, see, William Wordsworth never had the fortune to live with an avatar. You have the fortune to live with the avatar, and still, where is your realization?
My God.
Then Swami said, can any one of you narrate, you know, recite one of the poems written by Wordsworth? I knew the daffodils. So I said, Swami, daffodils. I know daffodils. Huh, bolo. Then I said, Swami, I just little bit of it. It starts so beautifully. I wandered lonely as a cloud that soars on high over vales and hills. And all at once I saw a crowd, a host of golden daffodils. So the whole imagery is so beautiful that the poet was just romping about in nature early in the morning. And then he just, you know, all of a sudden, he saw a host of golden daffodils. Then Swami stopped there and said, those flowers, you know, they are very short-lived. It blossoms in the morning and withers away in the evening. By evening, it's not there. Then next morning, there are again another host of flowers, you know. So that is all creation, preservation and dissolution going on in one day, in a flash. And then Swami said, now, you tell the poem, and I continued telling the poem, like besides the lake, beneath the trees, fluttering and dancing in the breeze, a poet couldn't but be gay in such a jocund company, and all that I said. And the last part, the most beautiful, the punchlines, you know, are, and oft when on my couch I lie, in vacant or in pensive mood, they flash upon the inward eye, which is the bliss of solitude. And then my heart with pleasure fills and dances with the daffodils. Now this beautiful poem, I knew the literary meaning of it, and so many times I had even, you know, scored very good marks. But the spiritual significance of that poem, for the first time in my life, I heard from Bhagwan. Swami just point blank asked me, what is the mind's eye? That inner inward eye, Swami said, mind's eye. What is the mind's eye? Bolo. Then Swami said, what is the mood? That pensive mood. So Swami was telling, what is the mood? So I said, Swami, it's the meditative mood when we sit alone. Swami said, that is the mood when you drive away the whole world away, and then you are all alone. So that is the pensive mood. That is the mood, Swami said. So in that mood, what happens is, all that you see, all that you have experienced, they start flashing. You start seeing it, perceiving it with a mind's eye. And then you become one with the joy. Because you would have experienced so much of joy at a gross level. Then he, so beautifully he said, wo dusra pehle wala jo tha, wo bhuta kash hai. Ye chitta kash hai, wo chida kash hai. Swami said this. Bhutakash, Chittakash, Chidakash. So mind's eye is the Chittakash. Then Swami said, at that level, at the subconscious level, because you have gone from the, traveled from the gross to the subtle, so you become very powerful, expansive, your imaginations can go beyond the horizon. Ananta hota hai, Swami said. Ananta hota hai. Then once you transcend even that, and go to the Chidakash, then you are infinity. And that is the Advaitic point. That is what Wordsworth was telling. Swami said, I am actually, for real, you know, paucity of time, I am just narrating it this much only. But, you know, this was the essence of what Swami said. And another thing is so thrilling, you know. It becomes so difficult. Sometimes you get almost emotional. Your hair stand on end when you even think of those wonderful moments. When Swami was so beautifully, and in such simple words, simple manner, he wanted us to, he was making us understand the philosophy of Advaita through a poem written by an Englishman.
Amazing.
At some point of time.
I think that was one of the things which Swami did. Here Swami was telling about Jnana Chakshu. That perspective which Swami gave to look for this in whatever you do and whatever you see,
whatever
you learn. I think that was one of the greatest boons Swami gave. I remember Gangadhar Shastri sir telling, you know, when he was taking a class in Ishrama school, those are the days when Swami would walk into any of the classes, and when Swami walked into his class and Swami asked, teacher, what are you teaching? And he said, Swami, I'm teaching about liberty. He was a political science teacher, right? He said, Swami, liberty. Swami said, very good. But even as you teach liberty, once in a while even teach about liberation.
So beautiful. So beautiful.
You know, that is the beauty of the way Swami was constantly telling, do whatever you're doing, but keep your mind always on that, in the search for that. Never lose sight of that. Going back to the discourse. And I think towards the end, Swami was very referring to what Sir was explaining so beautifully, you know, that moment Swami said, talking about Advaitanandam.
Advaitanandam.
What a beautiful word that Swami uses. Nityanandam, Brahmanandam, Advaitanandam, Swami says. And definitely, I'm sure
Swami gives those examples of the musk deer and of the elephant. Elephant not knowing its own strength, but is being controlled by the small rod of the mahut.
Yeah.
And then he tells about the musk deer, which has the fragrance coming from within itself. So those are examples Swami gives and says, you are verily the Atman, your nature is Atma, and you are just covering it up with this Maya called creation. I think that's somewhere earlier Swami mentioned that you should give up the doership. That was one point which Swami brought out. And
You spoke about how you gradually give up body consciousness, and through that you attain attachment towards God.
Correct.
Those four steps Swami said.
Yeah. Deha virakti.
Deha virakti. With Daiva Asakti,
yes,
gives you Bandha Vimochana and Moksha Prapti.
Correct.
So beautifully Swami said. You know, it's a process which happens simultaneously. Even as you give up body consciousness, you get more and more attached to God. In fact, in another discourse, Swami says the only attachment worth having is attachment towards God. Because that attachment will remove all the other attachments. It's something which is so strong.
Somewhere here, Swami mentions about the silence. You know, the same solitude that you were talking about, which William Wordsworth experienced. That silence and that solitude, that when you touch that note of nothingness.
Yeah, the bliss
and,
of solitude.
The bliss of solitude. Because here also Swami mentions about if you want to really water a tree, you're not going to go and water the flowers, the branches. You just want to, you're going to water the roots. And there is this beautiful analogy which Swami gives and which is there in the Gita as well. Bijam Mam Sarva Bhutanam. Yeah. Swami mentions that in this discourse. How the seed in absolute silence, I would say, it's just under the earth and it waits for the right time when it has to sprout. It has got the entire tree within itself and it just waits in silence. Because there is a beautiful book called Silence as Yoga. Written by Swami Paramananda, actually it's from the Ramakrishna Math. Just a very small booklet, but so beautiful. It's called Silence as Yoga. And the first few lines of the book, they say, just like the seed that stays silently underneath the soil. It's not that it is incapable. It's not that it's waiting for the right time. It has that infinite potential to become the huge tree. But it has to wait for the right time.
It has to wait for the right time.
It's very beautiful.
So profound.
That book is really very beautiful. Silence as Yoga. So I think with that, should we go on to the next clip?
Right.
Yeah.
I think this is the sixth clip in that discourse.
Okay.
Dana nidiki lokamulo konni rakamulaitanti kattubatlu chestuntaru. For the treasure, they put certain restrictions and certain
కొన్ని బ్యాంకులు ఉన్నాయి బ్యాంకుల్లో కావాల్సినంత ధనం ఉంటుండాలి
బ్యాంక్స్ హ్యావ్ ప్లెంటీ ఆఫ్ మనీ
కానీ కేవలం ఆ ధనమును అట్నే విసర్జించుకోవటం లేదు దానికి కావాల్సినంత బందోబస్తు చేస్తున్నారు
దే ప్రొవైడ్
ఇనుప ద్వారములు బంధిస్తున్నారు పెద్ద పెద్ద లాక్స్ బీగములంతా తగిలిస్తున్నారు రాత్రింపగలు కూడాను పారావారు దానిని చక్కగా రక్షిస్తున్నారు అందులో ఉన్న ధనాన్ని మనం పొందాలనుకుంటుంటే ఈ యొక్క ద్వారములు విరగొట్టాలి ఈ తాళమును పగలగొట్టాలి అందులో వాచ్మ్యాన్ గా ఉండేటువంటి గుర్ఖాలు గుర్ఖాలు వాడిని కొట్టి వాడి దగ్గర అన్ని విధాల స్వాధీనం చేసుకోవాలి
ఇఫ్ యూ షుడ్ గెట్ దట్ మనీ యూ హావ్ టు బ్రేక్ ద డోర్స్ యూ హావ్ టు బ్రేక్ ఓపెన్ ద లాక్స్ యూ హావ్ టు రిమూవ్ ది వాచ్
ఆ యొక్క ధనము మనకు లభ్యమవుతుంది
దెన్ ఓన్లీ యూ కెన్ గెట్ హోల్డ్ ఆఫ్ దట్ వెల్త్
అదే విధముగానే ఈ ఆనందం అనేటువంటి నిధికి ఒక విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క భద్రత ఏర్పడి ఉంది
ఇన్ ద సేమ్ వే For this wealth of bliss, it is very well protected.
దీనిని కాపాడేటువంటిది ఏమిటి?
What is it that protects this wealth?
అహంకారం అనే సర్పము సర్వత్రా సంచరిస్తూనే ఉంటుంటుంది. ఏ నిర్విరామంగా కూడా తిరుగుతూ ఉంటుంది.
The snake of ego goes round and round this wealth and tries to protect this wealth.
కనుక దాని దగ్గరికి ఎవరూ పోలేకపోతున్నారు.
దట్ ఈస్ వై నో వన్ ఈజ్ ఏబుల్ టు గో టు దిస్ వెల్త్ ఆఫ్ బ్లిస్.
ఎవడు ఈ అహంకారం అనే సర్పమును నిర్మూలము గావించును వానికే ఈ ఆనందం అనే నిధి లభ్యమవుతుంది.
ద వన్ హూ కిల్స్ దిస్ స్నేక్ ఆఫ్ ఈగో విల్ బి ఏబుల్ టు గెట్ హోల్డ్ ఆఫ్ ది బ్లిస్ ఆఫ్ జాయ్.
కనుక ఈ అహంకారం కేవలము అజ్ఞానం చేత ఆవరించినటువంటిది.
దిస్ ఈగో ఈజ్ ఫుల్ ఆఫ్ ఇగ్నోరెన్స్.
ఈ అహంకారం యొక్క కారణం ఏమిటి?
వాట్ ఈస్ ది రీజన్ ఫార్ దిస్ ఈగో?
ధనమా కారణం?
ఈజ్ ఇట్ వెల్త్?
లేక బలమా కారణం?
ఈజ్ ఇట్ స్ట్రెంగ్త్?
లేక స్థానమా కారణం?
ఈజ్ ఇట్
అధికారమా కారణం? విద్యనా కారణం? ఇవి ఏవీ కారణం కాదు. ఇవన్నీ అల్పమైనటువంటి శక్తులు.
The education, all these things are very small excuses.
ఇవన్నీ అహంకారానికి ఎట్లా కారణమవుతాయి?
How can they be a cause for the అహంకార or the ego?
దేహభ్రాంతియే దీనికి మూల కారణం.
It is the delusion of the physical body alone which is responsible for this ego.
ఇవన్నీ ఎంత కాలం? అందుకోసమే శంకరాచార్య మా కురుదన జన యౌవన గర్వం హరతి నిమిష కాల సర్వం. మా కురుదన జన యౌవన గర్వం. ఈ ధనము బలము ఈ యొక్క సంపదను గురించి అహంకారపడుతున్నాడు. ఇది ఎంతసేపు? క్షణములో క్షణములో మార్పు చెందుతుంది.
If man is suffering from pride and vanity on account of the wealth, on account of the strength, on account of beauty, etc., for how long will they last? They are all momentary.
ఇవందరూ కూడా అనుభవించినటువంటి వ్యక్తులు ఎక్కడ ఉన్నారు స్థిరంగా?
Where are those people who have enjoyed all these things now?
గొప్ప గొప్ప పదవులంతా ఏది సిరి సంపదలను అనుభవించి ప్రఖ్యాతిని పొంది రారాజులుగా మారి చక్రవర్తులుగా మారినటువంటి వ్యక్తులంతా ఎక్కడున్నారు ఇప్పుడు?
వేర్ ఆర్ దోస్ పీపుల్ హూ హ్యావ్ ఎంజాయిడ్ గ్రేట్ వెల్త్ అండ్ గ్రేట్ ప్రాపర్టీస్ అండ్ హూ హ్యావ్ బికమ్ ఎంపరర్?
ఉన్నారా? లేక వారి స్థానములున్నాయా? వారి యొక్క ధనం ఉండదా? ఏదీ లేదు.
ఈజ్ దేర్ వెల్త్ ఫౌండ్ ఆర్ దే ఫౌండ్? ఈజ్ దేర్ పొజిషన్ పర్మనెంట్? నథింగ్ ఈజ్ పర్మనెంట్. దే ఆర్ నాట్ అట్ ఆల్ ఫౌండ్.
ప్రాచీన కాలం నుండి భారతదేశం నందు అనేక మంది అనేక రకములైనటువంటి యొక్క సాధనలు సలిపి ఇవన్నీను అనిత్యము అనిత్యమని లోకానికి చాటుతూ వచ్చారు.
గ్రేట్ సోల్స్ అండ్ సేజెస్ హ్యావ్ డన్ ఎ లాట్ ఆఫ్ పెనన్స్ టు ఫైండ్ అవుట్ ది ఇంపర్మనెన్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ థింగ్స్.
గీత కూడాను అనిత్యం అసుఖం లోకం అని చాటిపోయింది.
ది సేమ్ థింగ్ హెస్ బీన్ డిక్లేర్డ్ బై భగవద్గీత. దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఈజ్ ఇంపర్మనెంట్ అండ్ ఫుల్ ఆఫ్ సారో.
నిరత సత్య ప్రౌఢి ధరణి నేలిన హరిశ్చంద్రుడి ధరబాసి చనగలేదా.
వాజ్ నాట్ హరిశ్చంద్ర కంపెల్ టు లీవ్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఆల్దో హీ ఫాలోడ్ ది పాత్ ఆఫ్ ట్రూత్?
ఎల్ల లోకములేల యశగు శ్రీ నలరాజు తన వెంట భూమిని కొనుచుచననా.
కింగ్ నలా హూ వాజ్ ఎంపరర్ ఆఫ్ ఎంపరర్స్ కుడి క్యారీ ఎ బిట్ ఆఫ్ ఎర్త్ విత్ హిమ్?
కృతయుగంబులకు అలంకృతి చేయు మాధాత సిరిమూట గట్టుక నరుగజనన.
మాల్దాత హూ వాజ్ ఎ పీస్ ఆఫ్ డెకొరేషన్ ఫర్ కృత ఏజ్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ కుడి క్యారీ విత్ హిమ్ ఎదర్ నేమ్?
జలదిశ్యతు కట్టే అలనాటి శ్రీరాముడి పుడురుపై నున్నవాడ.
శ్రీరామ హూ కన్స్ట్రక్టెడ్ ఎ బ్రిడ్జ్ అక్రాస్ ద ఓషన్
ఎందరెందరు రాజులు ఎగినారో.
సో మెనీ
కరువును వెంట కొనిపోవరి ఊర్వితలము.
నాట్ ఈవెన్ వన్ క్యారీడ్ ఎ హ్యాండ్ ఫుల్ ఆఫ్
మీరు మాత్రము మీదు సిరియు సంపద విద్యయు తలను గట్టుక పోదురా.
ఆర్ యూ గోయింగ్ టు క్యారీ విత్ యూ యువర్ ఓన్ వెల్త్ యువర్ ఓన్ ప్రాపర్టీస్ యువర్ ఓన్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్?
విద్యార్థులారా,
ఓ డియర్ స్టూడెంట్స్,
ఏది మన వెంట రాదు.
వీఆర్ నాట్ గోయింగ్ టు క్యారీ ఎనీథింగ్ విత్
అస్. వచ్చేది రెండే.
దర్ ఆర్ ఓన్లీ టూ థింగ్స్ విచ్ వి క్యారీ,
మంచి చెడ్డ.
అండ్ దాట్ ఈస్ గుడ్ ఆర్ బ్యాడ్.
మనం ఏది చేస్తామో అది మాత్రం మన వెంట వస్తుంది.
వాట్ ఎవర్ వీ డూ యు ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు క్యారీ ది రిజల్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ దాట్.
మంచిని చేసి మంచిని తీసుకోండి.
Do good and reap the fruits thereof.
ఏ విత్తనం నాటుతామో అదే ఫలమే మనకు లభిస్తుంది.
వాట్ ఎవర్ సో సీడ్ యు సో ది సేమ్ ఫ్రూట్ యు ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు గెట్.
తాత్కాలికంగా దీనిని అలక్ష్యం చేస్తున్నారు.
ది స్టూడెంట్స్
భవిష్యత్తును ఏనాటికైనా కూడాను ఇవి ఆ అదును అవి అనుసరించుకుని ఇది మొక్కలుగా రాక తప్పదు.
యు ఆర్ నెగ్లెక్టింగ్ అండ్ ఇగ్నోరింగ్ దీస్ ట్రూత్స్ ఇన్ ఫ్యూచర్ యు ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు రీప్ ది ఫ్రూట్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ యువర్ యాక్షన్స్.
ముండ బీజములు వేయి, పండ్ల బీజములు వేయి, తిరిగి అవి మొక్కలుగా వస్తాయి.
వాట్ ఎవర్ సీడ్ యు సో వెదర్ ఇస్ ఎ థార్న్ సీడ్ ఆర్ ఎనీ అదర్ సీడ్,
భారతీయుల యొక్క విశ్వాసము కర్మఫల సిద్ధాంతాన్ని విశ్వసించినటువంటి వారు భారతీయులు.
Bharatiyas had firm faith in this particular theory of action and the fruits thereof.
Kanuka mee hrudayamulo manchini aavirbhavimpa chesukoni
therefore develop good thoughts in your heart.
Nenu atma swaroopudanu,
consider yourself as the very
embodiment of brahma swabhavamu.
My very nature is nature.
Neni pani cheyataginata cheyataganada,
is it appropriate to my nature to do this particular thing or not?
Nenu atmaga undi ఈ అనాత్మ సంబంధమైనటువంటి తుచ్చ కార్యములను నేను ప్రవేశించడం మంచిదా కాదు అనేటువంటి ప్రతి కార్యమునందు కూడాను తన యొక్క దివ్యత్వాన్ని తాను స్మరించి కార్యములో ప్రవేశించాలి.
వాట్ ఎవర్ వర్క్ యూ అండర్టేక్ రిమెంబర్ యువర్ డివైన్ నేచర్ అండ్ అండర్టేక్ అప్రోప్రియేట్
దోషములకు దూరం అవుతాడు.
దెన్ ఓన్లీ యూ విల్ బి ఫ్రీ ఫ్రమ్ ఆల్ డిఫెక్ట్.
పాశములకు దూరం అవుతాడు.
యూ విల్ బి ఫ్రీ ఫ్రమ్ బాండేజ్.
దోషములకు దూరం అవుతాడు.
యూ విల్ బి ఫ్రీ ఫ్రమ్ ఆల్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ డిసీట్.
ఆత్మ ఆశలో ప్రవేశిస్తాడు.
దెన్ యూ విల్ గెట్ ఇన్ టు ది ఆస్పిరేషన్ ఆఫ్ ఆత్మ.
ఇలాంటి విచారణ విద్యార్థులకు అత్యవసరం.
స్టూడెంట్ షుడ్ డెవలప్ దిస్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ థింకింగ్.
మనం చదువుతున్నాం.
వీఆర్ స్టడీయింగ్.
గొప్ప గొప్ప డిగ్రీలు తీసుకుంటున్నాం.
వీఆర్ టేకింగ్ బిగ్ డిగ్రీస్.
ఇంకా విదేశాలకంతా వెళ్లి ఇంకా అధికమైనటువంటి డిగ్రీలు పొందుతున్నాం.
వీఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు ఒబ్టెయిన్ గ్రేటర్ డిగ్రీస్ దాన్ దిస్.
ఈ యొక్క చదువులు చదివి మనం దేనిని సంపాదిస్తున్నాం?
వాట్ ఈస్ ఇట్ దట్ వీఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు అచీవ్ బై దిస్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్?
ఈ చదువులు చదివి ఉద్యోగంలో చేరి
ఆఫ్టర్ దిస్ స్టడీస్ అండ్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ వీఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు
పుచ్చుకోవటం కోసమా?
ఈజ్ ఇట్ ఫర్
మోసాలు చేయటం కోసమా? అబద్దాలు ఆడటం కోసమా? పొట్టను పోషించుకునే కోసమా? కాదు కాదు. ఈ చదువులు ఇలాంటి అపవిత్రమైన మార్గంలో నా ప్రవేశపెట్టడం.
We should not, this education is not meant for taking bribery, for deceiving people, for going in the wrong path. Certainly not for that.
Parulanu mosaginchi pottanu povachinchukovalanukunte ee vidyalu enduku?
If you want to earn by deceiving others, why this education at all?
Kanaka mana vidya aatma vidya.
Our education is education of aatma.
Deeni dwara manamu pavitramaina aadarshavantamainatunte yokka deenini manamu lokaniki andinchali.
We have to offer our life to go as an ideal student and in the ideal path.
Dhyanadu potta nimpukune kosamani rendu chetulu ichchadu.
For filling this small stomach God has
rendu chetulu nunduku pani jarigithe pani chesthe kashtapadi shramisthe potta nindada?
If you work hard with both hands can you not fill your small stomach?
Manam rendu chetulato shraminchi pani cheyatam ledu.
We are not working hard with both hands.
Kanukune manamu ఈ అవస్థలకు గురి అయిపోతున్నాము.
దట్ ఈస్ ది రీజన్ వై వి ఆర్ పుట్ టు ట్రబుల్స్.
మనం కర్మణ్యేవ అధికారస్య, మన కర్మనే మన ప్రధానమైనటువంటి లక్ష్యము.
వి హావ్ ఎవ్రీ రైట్ ఫర్ యాక్షన్.
పవిత్ర కర్మలు ఆచరించాలి.
వి షుడ్ డు సేక్రెడ్
ఆదర్శవంతమైన కర్మలు ఆచరించాలి.
ఐడియల్ యాక్షన్స్.
అన్యులకు సహాయకరమైనటువంటి కర్మలు ఆచరించాలి.
హెల్ప్ఫుల్ యాక్షన్స్ ఇన్ ది సర్వీస్.
లోకోద్ధారమునకై మనము తగినటువంటి జీవితం అంకితం చేయాలి.
వి షుడ్ ఆఫర్ అవర్ లైఫ్ for the good and greatness of the world and
happiness.
The world is the very embodiment.
Mana desamu mana yokka matru desamu ee matru swabhavamu.
We should love our country as our motherland.
Kanuka itti matru bhavame mana yendu lekapothe manam inka ee vidhanga ee yokka jagatlo undagalamu.
If we don't develop such sacred feeling of love of the mother, what is the use of this life at all?
I think Swami straight away answered the question which I we started beginning with. I said, where does practice and precept come in this?
Mm-hmm.
No, so beautifully, the first part of the discourse, Swami spoke about being in that state of Advaita, understanding that you are the Atman.
Correct.
And now Swami started breaking it down and saying that if you are in that state, how will you conduct yourself? How mm-hmm. will you live in a society? How you will become a better citizen in the society you are living in? It's so beautifully and seamlessly Swami has connected the two states.
Correct.
Which we often think that, you know, that and this don't go together. So very beautifully Swami has connected.
See, it almost looks like, you know, it's my understanding of the whole thing is, the crux of the whole thing is, love without duty is divine.
divine.
Yeah. Now, because you think that being a good citizen, I have to be patriotic. The moment you think you have to be, you are doing it as a duty. The moment you think I am so and so, I have to do this, it's a duty. It is something which you think you have to do. But love without duty, that is beyond the bounds of duty, when every act of yours is
based... Unconditional love.
Yes. Unconditional spontaneity. That spontaneity, yeah. The moment it comes, you are in that state of oneness.
Because it's your nature.
It's your nature, yes. Yeah. That's the beauty. And the moment it becomes spontaneous, I think that's what it is. Then you are there. This whole analogy of having lot of wealth and lot of precious things locked up in an iron cage, in an iron box, and he says you have to actually hit the watchman and then go to get the treasure. That's what Swami would often sing, Payo ji mene, namaratan dan payo.
Or vanquish the snake.
Yeah. Correct. So he says, it's like the precious treasure that you have is locked up deep inside.
Yeah.
So he says, Ahankara is the serpent that is guarding that.
I had one beautiful opportunity to pray to Bhagwan how to really vanquish the Ahankara. You know, it so happened that I wanted to come to Prashanti Nilayam. A little bit of digression here.
Sure.
I wanted to come to Prashantilayam to observe the Ishwaramma Divas. And something that normally doesn't happen with students, because at that point of time we are in Vrindavan.
Right.
So I just written a letter to Swami. And in the evening, Mr. C. Srinivas, who was a warden, he just called me and said, Swami has accepted your letter and your prayer, and he has called you to Prashantilayam. And imagine at that point of time, at that age, that feeling of self-importance. Then it was announced that Sunam is going to Prashanti Nilayam, and you can write your letters and he will take it. So almost I felt like an ambassador carrying everyone's letter like a duta.
Yeah.
And I came to Prashanti Nilayam, and with that feel again, I sat right in the front, thinking that Swami will just come and ask me when did you come, Ipudu Chao. Nothing like that happened. He just came out, crushed me. He just went out and gave darshan. And I thought while coming back he would take me in. He didn't do that. Then I went inside the bhajan hall, and I sat there. And then, of course, there was a bhajan which I had not been allowed to sing for a long time. But then I sang that song, Allahu Akbar. Then after the bhajan, by the time I was very much penitent, I had done my, I had been doing my introspection and everything. But then after the Mangal Aarti, he did something very unconventional, you know, in the true sense of the term. After the Aarti, he took me to his room, into the interview room, through his door. From there, he led me into the interview room. The moment he closed the door, he faced me and said, Itna ahankar karta hai. Itna ahankar karta hai. He was so much in pain, like, you know, it sounded like that, that I felt that I could feel it. Then I said, Swami, I broke down and said, Swami, main kya karun? Ho jata hai, Swami, ahankar ho jata hai. It just happens. I have no control on it, Swami. Then Swami said, Dekho, aisa karna, jab bhi ahankar hota hai, Sai Shwararpanamastu, ye mantra bolo. Kaisa? Then I said, Swami, Sai Shwararpanamastu. Itna easy hai. Rishi ke liye pehle, bahut difficult tha. You have to do sadhana. Swami was telling you, to get over the ahankar, you have to do so many sadhanas. Here is simple as, you know, I offer it to you. Then, uska meaning kya hai? Uske upar dhyan dena hai. Aise bolne se nahi hota hai. Phir uspe dhyan dena hai. Sai Shwara Arpanamastu, the moment you say that, then the burden of whatever you have done, your action, all your volitional acts, everything, just gets wiped away. And there is no ahankar, Swami said. So since that day till date, whatever I do in my life, again and again it keeps coming, because I know that the hoods of ahankar, it keeps, you know, rising up. So we need to again and again constantly remind ourselves and say that Sai Shwararpanamastu, Sai Shwararpanamastu. It's a mantra for me at least. And
for everybody, for the whole world. So, so grateful to you for sharing such a beautiful things.
So beautiful.
It's so amazing.
In fact, you know, someone was explaining this very thing, where you say offering it to God.
Yeah.
And they said, why do you have this symbolism in most religions, where when you offer something to God, you throw it in fire? We have yagnam, homam. You throw it into fire. Why not have a bowl of or a trough of water and put it in that?
Yeah.
Why offerings into fire? Because fire is the one place where when you put it, it's irretrievable. Everything that comes out of that offering and that offering itself is irretrievable.
Yeah.
So that's why they say when you offer something to God, your act or your emotions, you say that I'm offering it in entirety. I don't want anything back from it.
Yeah.
There is absolutely no good effects or bad effects from it. Entirely offering it to God. I think when Swami said it's not just saying it, but understanding what you mean, which means you're not entertaining any thoughts after that of self-guilt or of, you know, anything which comes out of that act.
Pure renunciation.
Very exactly. What Swami said.
You know, I was just reading a few days back about the birth of Subramanya Swami, Kartikeya. And there, in actually part of Kumara Sambhava of Kalidasa, just, you know, happened to get interested and I was just reading it. So very beautifully he says, he describes the penance of Parvati. Now if you take Parvati as all of us, Prakriti, and Lord Shiva is Atma, the one who is ever immersed in the bliss of Atman. So he's sitting there, lost in penance, and in complete, you know, identity with the Atman. And Parvati is going there and serving him. And Mother Parvati is doing the seva. And he's just accepting it in a very, very detached, and he is always in tune with the Atman. And then Manmatha comes. And then he tries to spring this whole relationship between Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati. And there he says, it is like the mind. He says the mind which tries to, you know, bind Mother Parvati to that form. So when Mother Parvati is trying to get the Lord's attention on her form, immediately the third eye opens and Manmatha is burned down. So the third eye just opens and Manmatha is immediately, the mind is just burnt. So then Mother Parvati realizes that you cannot go close to the Lord by any other means. So she goes and gives up her body attachments. She gives up her identification with the body. In fact, it's written there when she goes back to her father and she says, her father was the one who initially said, you have to get married only to Lord Shiva. Because Narada came and whispered the cosmic secret into his ear. So she was, he was saying, but after this thing happened, and seeing the Rudra Roop of Lord Shiva just burnt Manmatha and vanished from there. So now it is left to Mother Parvati that she has to earn his grace again. So then her father, who was the one who proposed it in the first place, asked, do you think you'll be able to do it? You saw his form, you saw his... She says, nothing. He says, whatever it is. Then she does penance. She goes beyond her body consciousness. And that is when Lord comes and accepts her. I think the whole story has a very sweet and, you know, very symbolic meaning. If you want to really go close to the Lord, Lord Shiva or the Atman, you have to go beyond body consciousness.
It's the coming together of being and becoming.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. So when I was just reading that, and Ahankara, Swami says, aham plus akaram, you are attracting attention on your body, and you think you are this body, you can't win the Lord like that. The same like how you narrated this incident.
Yes.
Very beautiful.
Of course, Swami, that beautiful padya which Swami says, you know, of all the kings and... Swami even adds Rama's name in that. Swami says, even the avatars have come and gone, they've not taken anything. No, even if you're an avatar, what you take from this place is going to be nothing.
Correct.
And you know, with so much of emphasis, Swami says, the great souls who have nothing to gain from your detachment have told you this truth. That this world is unreal. There's nothing there in this world. But you're not ready to listen. It's a feeling Swami expressed in an earlier discourse also. Swami says, you're ready to listen to those who are selfish. You know, when you talk about advertisements, you talk about the lobbying which happens here, it's all information given to you with a very, very selfish and ulterior motive. Swami says, we are biting into that. But people who have renounced everything in the world, they are coming and tell you, this is the truth. This is the right path. This is what you should do. but you're not ready to listen to that. The words of those selfless people, you're not ready to listen and accept. So that's again what Swami is telling. These great souls who have done penance and they've understood that this is anityam, but you don't want to listen to them.
On some occasions, Swami has so beautifully said that, you know, it really makes you total renunciate then and there, the moment you hear about it, you know, because we are all the time, we are so proud about our physical, our body, and we are so conscious of the body and things around us at a very gross level. And then Swami said, you are just like a worthless, you know, chest.
Yes.
You know, it is a worthless iron chest.
Iron chest.
And if there is anything worthwhile there, and if you are being respected by people, it's because of the contents of the iron chest.
Correct.
And the contents of this, the Atma, and the bliss attached to the Atma. So because of the atmic bliss, the iron chest, which is so worthless, rusted, it has so much value. And the day the Atma is not there, in fact, do you remember that beautiful Upanishadic story that Swami talks about the different limbs of the body, they quarrel and they try to prove that I am...
It's more important.
Yeah, is it Kathopanishad?
Oh, I'm not sure. Yeah.
So they try to tell that, you know, each one of them tries to say that I am the most important. And ultimately the Atma listens to the whole thing and says, okay, if you guys are important, I think I'll take leave.
There's another thing which Swami is telling you, about Swami is putting in perspective the knowledge which you seek otherwise and the real knowledge which Swami wants you to seek. Swami is saying that,
correct,
you know, the knowledge which you spend years of your life seeking, it just to fill your stomach. It just requires you to do a little bit of hard labor and you can fill your stomach. So he's saying it's so simple, but you're wasting so much of your time in that. You know, the real knowledge which is what you come here for, you're missing out on that, and to fill this small stomach, you're filling all your time.
Yeah.
And so beautifully that Swami is connecting with, when you understand it's so simple to lead a life, then the chance of you being getting into corrupt practices, the chance of you manipulating people, and the chance of you being selfish, all that fades away. When you realize it's so simple to lead a life, it's so simple to just live.
Also here, where Swami says, when you're leading your life, when you're doing actions, before every action, pause and think.
Right.
I am the Atma. Is it proper for me to do such an act or not? sets everything in perspective. Now I'm doing this act. You know, it's interesting, slight digression from here. There was one astrologer whom we met, who could just see your face and tell you everything about you. And you really need not have to tell him your birth, date and everything. You just sit in front of him and he will look at your face. Okay, people may call it face reading, anything. But this person was so amazing. Then he said, you know, the reason why I'm telling you all this, you can also do it. Anybody can do it. Then we asked him, how do you do it? He says, only two things. First is, forget yourself and think 100% for the benefit of the person sitting opposite you. Selflessly, if you think, what I'm going to say is purely for his benefit, then words will just flow. He says words will flow, and it's amazing because the way he predicts, he talks about your past, your innermost secrets, is almost like Swami standing in front of you and speaking to you. I mean, the way he predicts, you can never say everything of what he says may not be right, but 99% things were so accurate. And then he said, I'm telling all this only to make you also, he's a normal postman, he's just there. And he doesn't even do this like a profession, but for a few of us who know and meet him, he just brings out this beautiful truth. He says, you can do it. So he says, every action that you do, if you forget yourself and you are limiting yourself, thinking that you are, I am this, I am this, he says, forget yourself. You have to forget yourself and think the person who is sitting in front of you is yourself. And you have to think for the welfare of that person. Automatically words will come.
It's just your extension.
Exactly. Yeah. Automatically words will come.
So there is a connection. There is an interlink, a connection already.
Very beautiful.
Yeah.
So he says, every action I do, just think, I am the Atma, is it proper for me to do or not? So, this was just a small digression, but it, when you can actually do things, forgetting the fact, means not keeping in mind that I am so and so, I am so and so. So when I am doing this body, I should not think I am Sai Prakash, I am going to play the harmonium for the Mandir Bhajan. I should just think I am the Atman playing it.
And if we could take it to the next level, uh-huh. even at the point of simulation,
uh-huh.
that everybody is the same Atma.
Correct.
Then uh-huh. there would be nothing else except this Advaitic Anubhuti.
Uh-huh.
Even, you know, at our level,
uh-huh.
we would start on a very, you know, uh-huh. on the right note.
Very true. And this exactly what happens when Gyanadeva, I think, tells the buffalo to chant Vedam.
Exactly.
He is actually calling out the Atma from within the Dunnapota,
yeah, yeah.
the buffalo, and it chants the Vedam, because there is infinite potential in everybody.
Yeah.
So one of the Advaitic teachers, you know, he says,
mm-hmm.
see what Swami said in the second discourse, the body mm-hmm. is jadam,
mm-hmm.
body is inert.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, since you think that you are this body,
mm-hmm.
you have the limited ability of extending your chaitanya only mm-hmm. to this body.
Correct, yeah. correct. Yeah.
Because you are so immersed in the idea I am the body.
Mm-hmm.
So well
if you are able to remove this idea that I am this body, you mm-hmm. can insert the chaitanya in anything and make it do anything.
Very true.
It becomes infinite.
Yeah. It becomes infinite. Just what Swami did.
Mm-hmm.
He could create objects because he could make the atom obey what he wanted, know mm-hmm. what he was telling. He said your ability to remove your this mm. asati or chaitanya, what Swami says,
mm.
from this body and insert it to anything and make anything do anything.
Yeah,
beautiful.
You know, coming back to this thing of Swami's telling that if you think that you are the Atman, you will not do these things.
Mm.
Reminded of a conversation I had with one of our former students. He's from the army.
Mm-hmm.
He gave a very interesting thing, you know, perspective. He said, see, if you join the army, you need to go through so much of training before you're given a gun in your hand.
Okay.
Yeah. Just take it to the other side, you know, the Indian army is all the time battling with terrorists and extremists.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
He said, those guys,
mm.
it takes only 3 days.
Mm.
They catch a youngster, maybe a 16, 17 year old,
mm.
3 days of training and he's given a gun and he's sent into the war front.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, what is the difference?
Mm.
He said, to teach a man to shoot, it takes only 3 days.
Mm.
But to give a gun to a man and to teach him not to shoot, it takes months.
Wow.
Beautiful.
So beautiful.
Mm.
And you know, Swami is telling here that self-knowledge will lead you to this kind of thinking. I am the Atman. Should I do this? Should I not do this? Is this the right thing to do?
Mm.
He said that ability to hold yourself back and do the right thing,
mm.
that needs really months and months of training, and that is the true knowledge. That worldly knowledge says that no, I am educated. I can do this. I am entitled to this. I am allowed to do this.
Mm.
The ability to use your senses indiscriminately, you don't need
mm.
the ultimate knowledge.
That's true. And here Swami actually ends it, this clip, in a very beautiful point, and one of his most favorite points, that is patriotism. And yeah. then I think we should play that.
We can go to the next clip. It's a 6-minute clip. It will be very interesting because Swami is
yeah.
really firing up right now.
So,
it would be a good clip to end the
sure.
Vakanaka samayamlo Calcutta University lopala Subhash Chandra Bose chadutu unnadu.
Once upon a time, Subhash Chandra Bose was undergoing his studies in the University of Calcutta.
Andulo oka British lecturer Bharat Deshani Bharatiyulu gurinchi koncham alachyanga hedalaga tanu cheptu undetundi vaadu.
There was a lecturer from Britain who was making fun of and criticizing Bharat.
Kani ee vidhamenti tana matrudesham yokka dushanu tanu vinalekapoyadu.
Bose was not able to hear the criticism of his motherland.
Idi naa priya matrudeshamu.
This is my dear motherland.
Idi naa priya matrubhasha.
This is my dear mother tongue.
Idi naa matamu.
This is my religion.
Idi naa abhimatamu.
This is my
Idi naa vratamu.
This is my very religion.
Deshabhimaname lekunda deham yokka deenine manam vicharana cheyakunda manam jeevinchutunnamante idi nijamga manaku matrudeshanga bhavistunnama kaadu kaadu. మాతృదేశమునికి ఏమైనా కూడా నేను త్యాగం చేయాలని సంకల్పించుకున్నాడు సుభాష్ చంద్రబోస్.
హీ టుక్ ఎ ఫర్మ్ రెజల్యూషన్ ఫర్ ద సేక్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ డియర్ మదర్ ల్యాండ్ హీ షుడ్ బి ప్రిపేర్డ్ టు గివ్ అప్ ఎనీథింగ్.
కానీ విచక్షణ జ్ఞానం కలిగినటువంటి వాడు కనుక
కొంతసేపు ఓపిక పట్టుకున్నాడు.
బట్ హీ వాజ్ బ్లెస్డ్ విత్ అ లాట్ ఆఫ్ డిస్క్రిమినేషన్, హీ ఎక్సర్సైజ్ పేషెన్స్.
కానీ వినలేకపోయాడు ఆ మాటలు.
బట్ ది క్రిటిసిజం కంటిన్యూడ్, హీ వాజ్ నాట్ ఏబుల్ టు బేర్.
మూడు డస్ట్లంతా ఎగిరిపోయేసేసి ఆ యొక్క బ్రిటిష్ వాడిని తల పట్టుకుని తన చేతులు ఉన్నటువంటి చెప్పును తీసుకుని ఊరికి కొట్టేశాడు.
హీ జంప్డ్ ఓవర్ త్రీ బెంచెస్ ఇన్ వన్ గో అండ్ కాట్ హోల్డ్.
నేను సహిస్తాను, నా మాతృదేశాన్ని నేను దూషించడం నేను సహించలేను.
ఐ కెన్ బేర్ ఎనీథింగ్ బట్ నాట్ క్రిటిసిజం ఆఫ్ అవర్ మదర్ ల్యాండ్.
జన్మభూమస్య స్వర్గాధిప గరియసి, నేను నరకమునకు పోయినా పర్వాలేదు, నా యొక్క దేశం యొక్క విషయాన్ని నేను కాపాడుకోవాలి.
ఐఎమ్ ప్రిపేర్ టు గో ఈవెన్ టు హెల్
సుభాష్ చంద్రబోస్.
సచ్ వాజ్ ద బోస్ హూ లివ్డ్.
ఈ దృశ్యాన్ని చూసినటువంటి విద్యార్థులందరూ కూడా ఏమీ చేయలేకపోయారు.
స్టూడెంట్స్ హూ సా దిస్ సైట్ ఫర్ ఫైండింగ్ దెమ్సెల్వ్స్ హెల్ప్లెస్.
కేవలం పులిపిల్ల వలె ఎగిరి అతన్ని అనేక రకములుగా కూడా హింసిస్తున్నాడు. అతను హెల్ప్ మీ హెల్ప్ మీ హెల్ప్ మీ అని అంటున్నాడు, కానీ ఎవరు హెల్ప్ లేదు.
And that teacher began crying, please help me, help me, help me. Like a tiger cub, he pounced upon him. Within a few minutes, this news spread to the entire university.
Emergency meeting pettukunnaru.
There was an emergency meeting.
Itanni inka 5 samvatsaramulu ee college lo em matram mana Calcutta university lo chadavadaniki avakasam ledani nirnayam chesukunnaru.
They resolved that Bose should be debarred for 5 years from Calcutta university.
దానితో అతను చదువులైనా కూడా త్యాగం చేశాడు.
హీ వాజ్ ప్రిపేర్ టు గివ్ అప్ హిజ్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్.
నిజమైనటువంటిది నా మాతృభూమి, నా రక్తమంతా కూడాను భారతదేశంలో పుట్టినటువంటిది, భారతదేశంలో పెరిగినటువంటిది, భారతదేశానికి అంకితం కావాలి.
మై బ్లడ్ ఈజ్ మెంట్ ఫార్ సాక్రిఫైసింగ్ ఫర్ ద సేక్ అండ్ ఫర్ ద ఆనర్ ఆఫ్ మై ఓన్ నేషన్ మై మదర్ ల్యాండ్.
పాటిస్తూ వచ్చాడు.
అండ్ దట్ ఈస్ హౌ హీ పార్టిసిపేటెడ్ ఇన్ ద మూమెంట్స్.
తండ్రి ఈ యొక్క విషయాన్ని గుర్తించి తాను లండన్ కు పంపించాడు. ఇండియాలో చదవడానికి అవకాశం లేదు.
హీ డిడ్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ ఎన్ ఆపర్చునిటీ ఫర్ ఫర్దర్ స్టడీస్ హియర్, దెన్ హీ వాజ్ సెంట్ టు లండన్.
అక్కడ కూడా పోయి దేశాభిమానాన్ని హృదయంలో పెట్టుకున్నాడు. నా పవిత్రమైన భారతదేశము త్యాగభూమి, యోగభూమి, కర్మభూమి కాదు, భోగభూమి.
ఈవెన్ ఆఫ్టర్ హీ వెంట్ టు లండన్, హీ ఆల్వేస్ రిమెంబర్డ్ that his motherland, that is India, is a great country, a country which is devoted to yoga. And
nenu sadavadaniki vachinane kani ee deshamlo sthiramai povadaniki raledu.
I have come to this country only for studies, not to settle down here.
Pedda bhaktito chadivesesi ICS pass chesadu manchi sthayilo.
He studied with a lot of interest and passed his ICS examination with distinction.
Tirigi akkada nunchi vachi రాజకీయంలోనే ప్రవేశించారు.
హీ కేమ్ బ్యాక్ టు భారత్ అండ్ ఎంటర్డ్ ది పాలిటిక్స్.
నేను ఈ దేశం యొక్క ఆహారంతో ఈ దేహాన్ని పోషించుకున్నాను.
మై బాడీ వాస్ ఇట్స్ వెరీ ఎగ్జిస్టెన్స్.
ఈ దేశం యొక్క పానీయం చేత, జలం చేత నేను ఆ దేహాన్ని కాపాడుకున్నాను.
ఐ హావ్ ప్రొటెక్టెడ్ మై బాడీ విత్ ద వాటర్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ కంట్రీ.
కనుక నా దేశమునకు నేను కృతజ్ఞత చూపించాలి.
ఐ మస్ట్ షో గ్రాటిట్యూడ్ దిస్ మదర్ ల్యాండ్.
చూసారా, అదే విధముగా మన సంస్థకు కానీ, మనం ఎవరుండి ఇంత స్థాయికి మనం వచ్చామనేటువంటి ఒక విషయం కానీ, ఆ కృతజ్ఞతను మాత్రము విద్యార్థులు మరవరాదు.
స్టూడెంట్ షుడ్ ఆల్వేస్ హ్యావ్ దట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ గ్రాటిట్యూడ్, రిమెంబరింగ్ బై హూస్ గ్రేస్ అండ్ బై హూస్ హెల్ప్ వన్ హాస్ కమ్ అప్ ఇన్ లైఫ్.
అది నిజమైనటువంటి యొక్క దీక్ష, నిజమైన త్యాగం.
దాట్ ఈస్ ది కరెక్ట్ టైప్ ఆఫ్ రెజల్యూషన్.
స్వార్థాన్ని త్యాగం చేసి పరార్థాన్ని విశ్వసించి పరమార్థాన్ని పొందాలి.
రినౌన్స్ సెల్ఫిష్నెస్, have firm faith in the transcendental
vidya
and reach the transcendental goal.
Bhagavad Gita kani, Bible kani, Quran kani, Grantharajam kani, inka ye vidhamainatundi pavitra grantham ainapatikini ivi parayana nimittamai adi aavirbhavinchaledu.
Whether it is Bhagavad Gita, Bible, Quran or any sacred scripture, they are not meant only for merely studying and living.
ఆచరించే నిమిత్తమై అవి అందించినట్టు.
ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ హావ్ కమ్ ఫర్ ది పర్పస్ ఆఫ్ ప్రాక్టీస్.
ఆచరణలో పెట్టాలి.
వాట్ ప్రాక్టీస్ ది ట్రూత్.
ఎన్ని శ్లోకాలు చదివి మన ప్రయోజనం ఏమిటి?
వాట్ ఇస్ ది యూజ్ ఆఫ్ మెమరైజింగ్ ఎనీ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ స్టాంజాస్.
ఎన్ని విధమైనటువంటి వ్యాఖ్యానం చేసి ప్రయోజనం ఏమిటి?
వాట్ ఇస్ ది యూజ్ ఆఫ్ ఆఫరింగ్ ఎనీ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ కామెంటరీస్ ఆన్ దెమ్.
కాదు, గంగ గోవు పాలు గంటడైన చాలు, కడవదైన కడవ పాలు, కౌ మిల్క్ ఒక టీ స్పూన్ ఉండిన చాలు, వై బ్యారెట్స్ ఆఫ్ డాంకీ మిల్క్.
It is sufficient to have A spoon full of cow's milk, why have barrels of donkey's milk?
చదువుతుంటావు భగవద్గీతను పారాయణం ఎన్ని చేస్తుంటాము 700 శ్లోకాలు కంఠం చేస్తున్నారు కంఠానికి భారమే తప్ప తన యొక్క బాధలకు నివారణ ఏమాత్రం కూడా స్వల్పలేవు.
స్టడీయింగ్ అండ్ మెమరైజింగ్ భగవద్గీత ఎనీ నెంబర్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్స్ అని రిపీటింగ్ ఇట్ ఈజ్ ఓన్లీ ఎ బర్డన్ ఫర్ యువర్ ఓన్ థ్రోట్ నో యూస్.
That was a clip in Subhash Chandra Bose, and you know, that's something which we've always noticed. Swami really, you could see that fire in Swami's eyes whenever he spoke about at least Subhash Chandra Bose.
Amazing, because once I remember one of those, I think it was Independence Day or so, the students actually put up a drama, and Swami was sitting on the veranda, and suddenly Swami was signaling that he wanted to do something. People were wondering what. Swami says, "I want to speak." And we were wondering why suddenly Swami was, because Independence Day generally Swami was not giving a discourse. Yeah. Then when he started his discourse, he said, "There is one speaker put in front of me on which it is written Bose."
Oh.
The moment I saw Bose that, I wanted to speak
on
Subhash Chandra Bose. So beautiful. And he spoke about Subhash Chandra Bose, so that discourse.
I think in 2005, one of the convocation discourses, I was editing that video which we were making for the convocation time. There Swami was speaking about patriotism, he was speaking about the various leaders. At one point Swami said, see, people always speak about Gandhi, Nehru and a few of those popular leaders. And Swami said, but people are not speaking enough about Subhash Chandra Bose. Swami said, and then just Swami said that, you know, there's one person who's not being spoken enough about. And Swami said, he is Subhash Chandra Bose. And for 2 minutes, 2 seconds, Swami just choked when Swami said that. And that was the time when we were not seeing Swami getting so emotional. Swami was that stern self of his always, especially while giving a discourse. But because we were doing that editing and we were having a very close-up shot of that, we saw for 2 seconds, Swami just swallowed. And, and you know, you could see that Swami had become emotional just taking the name of Subhash Chandra Bose.
What I would feel is, you know, whenever Swami spoke about any of these patriots, one of the main reasons why Swami feels, you know, exhibits that that type of emotion, and you know, it's it could be a message to all of us that, you know, you don't live for your swartha, as Swami said, you know.
The concluding statement.
So, yeah, concluding statement. It is for Paratha, because these were people who lived very selflessly. And they never really thought about their own individual identity and their happiness, because they had merged their identity with the totality. And that is one reason why they deserve so much, you know, love of Bhagwan. But I am reminded of so many occasions on which Swami has given an entire exegesis on, you know, this patriotism that Swami talks about. And, you know, a lot of people would have questions in their heart that, oh, is it patriotism all about a country? Love for a country. But on many occasions Swami has said that, you know, when you talk about Bharata Desha, Bharata is Bhavaraga Tala. It's an abstraction, it's a universal abstraction. And taking it to the next level, Swami has said that true patriotism is when you live in nature, when you live for nature, your love for nature, the whole of sentient and insentient beings, the whole of, you know, humanity, the whole of creation, the whole cosmos, when you fall in love. And this Vasundhara, this, you know, your country is not only a geographical configuration, you know, but your country is this whole entire universe, is your country. So, patriotism at that level, that is one thing. Then the other thing that Swami has said on many occasions is, you know, you have come from a land of bliss. You belong to that. Now that you are just loitering around here, caught up in your this samsara, and samsara is nothing but, you know, these five elements, and then your manas, buddhi, chitta, ahankar. And then because you are caught up there, never forget the bliss, though you are enjoying here now, in this duality, but never, never forget the bliss of that land to which you belong. So you should be all the time dwelling on that. So that is paramartha. So at the paramarthic level, at swartha to parartha, that is definitely there. But to reach Paramartha, we should all the time dwell in Paramartha. So that message that Swami has all the time so beautifully given us.
Talking about patriotism, almost most of his discourses you really find this coming through. Yeah. Especially even the convocation discourses where Swami is addressing students, is always firing up with this patriotism. In fact, I remember very clearly one of, after we finished our college, we were waiting for a few months, and one of those interviews when Swami called, with so much of involvement and so much of passion, Swami said, "You go today, go to villages and serve. I will take care of everything of yours." And he said, "Start small scale industries. I will help. You go start and tell me, I will help you." Because all the time he is always thinking about that act, that word of Bhagwan showed how he is always thinking about how to help these villagers. That the whole sense of patriotism plus seva, where you forget yourself and then spend your life bringing somebody else up.
Yes.
And Swami always stood for that. Because he told, you start small scale industries. And the whole idea of bringing up our own country, Swami always stood for.
Yes.
It applies to every country, of course.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing, as Sir is pointing out. Patriotism is a means for giving up that swartha. It's a very obvious and a tool which is right in front of us, you know, whichever country you belong to. Because it's easy to feel a sense of belonging to a country.
Belonging and even gratitude.
Gratitude,
Swami
right.
says.
Yeah. That's what, the ability to think of the bigger society you belong to, you know. I think eventually Swami would expect that patriotism goes to a sense of gratitude towards the Vyashti itself.
Correct.
The entire creation, and then you do every act. Which
your motherland is the paradise.
Right. Swami very often says that. And I think I'm really overwhelmed by the way Swami has connected patriotism with, you know, societal service, with being in that state of Advaitanandam. So beautifully. And of course, towards the end of that clip, Swami is telling about what's the point in reading everything, and you can know the whole Bhagavad Gita from back to front, but if you're not practicing.
Correct.
So I think we'll come to the end of this program. So thank you for being with us. And I think, going back to that wonderful William Wordsworth, it was beautiful to listen to that. And I think it's so insightful for all of us, even though we've been students, we've been here for so many years. You could have been spent 15 years with Swami, but still you would have missed so much.
Really?
You know, that is how much Swami has given in the sense of explanations and knowledge and, you know, practical knowledge. He's proved and lived through these messages. We've been hearing them as discourses, but I think we've all seen him teaching these messages by living through them. And that is the joy we've all had. And thank you for sharing some of this.
I should thank Bhagwan actually for this wonderful privilege that I have been enjoying since last week and this week again. And I really look forward to more such weeks. Jai Sairam. Really.
Thank you, sir. Whenever you're here, we'd love to have you on this program.
Thank you so much.
So dear listeners, this is the end of this week's program, Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. In a short while from now, Bishu will be here. So before I wish good night and give the mic to Bishu, thank you for being with us. Thank you for listening to us. If you have any feedback, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. We'll keenly look forward to your responses. Till we meet you next week, this is Prem from Team Radio Sai, signing off with Sai Prakash and Sonam Sir. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.